The believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel invite you to listen to a gospel message by one of their pastors, Joe Galusik and Walter Pendleton. This week's message is by Walter Pendleton. Visit us on the website at www.sgchapel.com. Again, that is www.sgchapel.com. Men preach what they think is best. There is nothing to preach better than or other than Jesus Christ the Lord. Now this week's message.
My text for this morning is in the Gospel according to Matthew. The Gospel according to Matthew chapter 3. And let me just begin reading Matthew chapter 3 verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Esaias," or that is Isaiah, "saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea, all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Ponder on John's statement of verse 9. That's what I want to concentrate on this morning. Ponder on John's statement of verse 9. Think about this. John said to these people, these self-righteous Pharisees and Sadducees that came to his baptism, and listen to what he says, "And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones." I can see him standing there by the Jordan with its rocks and stones laying about. He says to them, "For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." Oh, the magnitude of this truth. It's profound and dire warning to men, and it's exaltation of God and his sovereign ability. I know there are people who become disturbed and maybe even offended by the fact that there are those of us who keep expressing this, but God is able. He's able in his absolute sovereign ability. And what I want to do this morning, I want us to examine the words here in verse 9, and may we glean from its glory. And here are those words. I've broken it down into the four phrases that John gave. That is John the Baptist. Listen to what he says. Here's number one. "And think not to say within yourselves." That's the first statement. "And think not to say within yourselves." Second, he says, "We have Abraham to our father." So he says, "Think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father." Here's the third phrase. "For I say unto you." And here's the fourth phrase. "That God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." So then, let's get right to it. The first phrase of John, what did he say? "And think not," think about this, "and think not to say within yourselves." Let you and I never suppose that rebellion and unbelief and sin is always some overt immoral act. Rebellion and unbelief and sin is certainly manifested in overt immoral acts. There is no doubt about that. Do not misunderstand me. But let you and I never suppose that rebellion and unbelief and sin is always just some overt immoral act. According to the scripture, even thought can be rebellion. Do you hear what I said? Even thought can be rebellion, unbelief, and sin. Listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ himself said. Matthew chapter 15, verse 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth cometh forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil. And what's the first thing he mentions? Evil thoughts. Do you see it? For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. And we can say, for out of the heart proceeds murders. Out of the heart proceeds adulteries. Out of the heart proceeds fornications. Out of the heart proceeds thefts. Out of the heart proceeds false witness. Out of the heart proceeds blasphemies. That's where they start. That's the true problem. It's in the thoughts and intents of the heart. These are the things which defile a man, our Lord Jesus Christ said. You see, let us never think. Let us never think, you or I, either one, let us not think that rebellion is just some overt, outward, immoral act. Our rebellion is manifested even in our thoughts. So much so that the Apostle Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 2. And I want to read those words to you. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 2. For there is no respect of persons with God. Do you hear that? In other words, God respecteth no man's person. What you are in your own eyes, what you are in other men's eyes, that makes no difference to God. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their what? Their thoughts. Do you see it? And their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or excusing one another. You see, rebellion, the heart of the matter, the crux of the matter, is rebellion has to do with the heart and the thoughts. That's where it all starts. You rebellious rebel, I say to you this morning, God knows your thoughts better than you do. God knows my thoughts better than I do. God holds you, and God holds me accountable. Your butts before God, but my butts before God, but God, but I'm this, but I'm that. Our butts before God will only add to our condemnation if we walk in that manner. God knows your sin even when you do not. Before God, you are guilty. Before God, I am guilty. We are all guilty outside of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the first phrase. And think not to say within yourselves. But we have also a second phrase. He says, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. There's the second one. And think not to say within yourselves, what are they not supposed to think? What are they not supposed to say within yourselves? We have Abraham to our father. What can we glean from this? Here's what we can glean. Any hope of acceptance before God based upon human relationship is rebellion against God. And it provides no relationship with God. Think about this. A relationship of blood? Well, my mom was a believer. My dad was a believer. My mom and dad's went to church all their life. I'm their son. I'm their daughter. Blood relationship provides no relationship before God. Doesn't matter who your parents were. Doesn't matter who your grandparents were. Doesn't matter what great things they may have accomplished. Blood relationship provides no relationship before God. There's no help there. The relationship of one's own will, there's no help there. But I will this, I will that, I will to be moral, I will to be righteous, I will to keep the law. All of that will condemn us before God. A relationship to one's own will, there is no help there. And a relationship of others, willing for your good, there's no help there. Why do I say that? Listen to what John wrote in John chapter 1. And listen to these words. Verse 10. He was in the world. This is speaking about Jesus Christ. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own. He's talking about the Jews there. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So we see that receiving is believing. But look, which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So a relationship by blood, by your own will, by someone else's willingness on your behalf, that provides no help. And it makes no relationship before God. As a matter of fact, religious relationship, there's no help in that. Listen to the words of John chapter 5 and verse 39. These again are the words of Christ. He said to a group of people, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life." Do you see man's will there? "And ye will not come to me that ye may have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you." These were people who searched the scriptures. They searched the scriptures, yet they didn't see Christ. They didn't come to him. He said, "I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive." There's human will. "How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only?" Now listen to these words. "Do not think," you see that? "Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" So we see, clearly, we're getting a little picture here as to how we can see and why we should see what John said, what he did. And think not to say within yourselves, "We have Abraham to our father." These Jews boasted in their relationship by blood to Abraham. And yet, the Apostle John is quite clear. John the Baptist, rather, is quite clear. As a matter of fact, there's not even a true relationship to Abraham apart from a relationship to God by the same kind of faith that Abraham had. Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote. Galatians chapter 3. He wrote these words in Galatians chapter 3. Listen to verse 26. "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ." You see it? "For you're all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ." That comes first. That's paramount. To be a child, or rather a more appropriate translation, a son of God. "For you're all the sons of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus." And then listen. "And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So you see that a relationship of blood provides no help. A relationship of your own will, no help. Relationship of the will of others is no help. A religious relationship is no help. And as a matter of fact, apart from faith in Jesus Christ, no man has a relationship with God or with Abraham. Your opinion on this, my opinion on this, your denomination's opinion on this, it's all an abomination in God's sight. You hear what I said? It's all an abomination in God's sight. And what gives any man the right to say the things that I'm saying this morning? Here's the right. Think about it. John the Baptist said this, "For I say unto you." That's the third thing. Remember, "And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father." Then John the Baptist says, "For I say unto you." Now, hear me this morning. God Almighty, the God of heaven and earth, the God who is able to bow down and abase, to bring low those that walk in pride. The God who is able to deliver his people, as we've seen in the past few weeks. The God who is able, God Almighty, this very same God, has ordained the use of the very people you look down on as the instruments he sends with his message. Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 10. I know this is familiar to many religious people, and yet they really do not get the gravity of the words. You see, God Almighty, in his ordained way, according to his own sovereign purpose, God Almighty will send one sinner. He will send one sinner to another sinner. And that first sinner will declare the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ to the second sinner. And this is God's ordained instrumentality. This is God's ordained way that he sends one sinner to another sinner to declare the glory of the person and work of Jesus Christ. And that second sinner, only by believing the message declared by the first sinner concerning the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, only those people are saved. That's the way God's ordained it. Listen to Romans chapter 10, and listen to what Paul says. Now, many of you know this. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you read those? What glorious words those are. Yet, men and women today pervert those things. They prostitute these things. This whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord is not thrown out there willy-nilly as some magic rabbit's foot. Listen to what Paul says. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? So believing must precede a person's calling. It's not just anybody can say, oh, Jesus, save me. They have to believe first. You see it? How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And what's the next thing? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? You see that? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. You see, this is God's ordained instrumentality. God is ordained to use men. It pleased God, Paul said. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And what do they preach? What is this that they preach? They preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. To the Jews, to religious people, it's a stumbling block. To the Greeks, it's foolishness, it's nonsense. To the well-educated, modern-day mind, well, this is foolishness, but this is God's ordained way. And God Almighty will either bring you that way or you will not be brought at all. You see, because it's true. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you. Now here's something to consider. One of the hallmarks of false Christianity, one of the hallmarks of what I call pseudo-Christianity, is they boast of dead preachers, and they reject those living preachers who preach the very gospel of the dead that they boast in. Now, let me repeat that. You hear what I say? Here's one of the hallmarks of false Christianity. False Christianity does this. They boast of dead preachers, but they reject those living preachers who preach the very gospel of the dead preachers that these people boast in. Maybe you've heard of men like C.H. Spurgeon. Maybe you've heard of men like John Newton, the one who wrote that song, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Maybe you've heard of men like Martin Luther or George Whitefield or John Gill. Let me say to you, do you believe? Do you rest in? Do you trust in the God that they preached? Do you believe and rest in and trust in the God, the gospel that they declared? How many people sing John Newton's song, Amazing Grace, How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind, but now I'm found, was lost, but now I see. But they sing that song with their lips, but they have no idea of the grace that John Newton, that old sovereign grace preacher, they have no idea who he was talking about or the grace that he was talking about. Men boast about Spurgeon and Newton and Luther and Whitfield and Guild. I could go on and on and on, and yet they criticize and condemn the very living preachers today who preach the same gospel these men did. Now, maybe you say, well, I've never heard of any of these men. That's probably because the people you listen to are not preaching the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what the Apostle John wrote in 1 John. And listen to these words, 1 John chapter 4. The Apostle John wrote these words, "Beloved, believe not every spirit." You see it? "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." Now confesses it, not just says it, but confesses it. "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Now listen, here it is. "They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us." Remember John said, "For I say unto you." John the Baptist said, "For I say." Don't think to say within yourselves, "I have Abraham to my father, for I say unto you." John said, "We're of God." He that knoweth, John the Apostle says, "We're of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." You see, men, pseudo-Christianity, false Christianity loves to boast about these dead men, but they refuse to preach and believe the very gospel that those dead preachers preach. And how do I know that? Because living men today preach that same gospel, yet men mock and disclaim and cry out against those who preach the very same gospel of these men. See, and John the Baptist spoke of the one truth that all these men expressed. Yea, John the Baptist spoke of the one truth of everyone that God has sent to express this truth. Here's the fourth phrase. "And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." Isn't that an amazing statement? You see, here's number four. A relationship with God. This is what all true preachers have preached down through the ages. This is what all these men like Spurgeon, Newton, Luther, Whitfield, Gill, John Flavel, John Knox, this is what all these men preached, that a relationship with God, yea, a true spiritual relationship with Abraham, it depends on God only. It is caused by God only. It is secured by God only. That's what all these men preach. That's what I preach. That's what my brother Joe Galusik preaches. That's what some preach still today. And yet we have men mock and scoff at us, and yet they brag on all those dead preachers and how great they were and what all they preached. They brag on Martin Luther. Think how many Lutherans brag on being a Lutheran, and yet they don't even believe the gospel that Martin Luther preached. But all of these men, every man that's been sent of God to preach the gospel of peace and the glad tidings has preached this truth, a relationship with God. Yes, even a spiritual relationship with Abraham, it depends on God only. God Almighty predestinated and elected a people under that relationship. And it's caused by God only. God the Spirit must breathe life into the dead alien soul before that person will ever believe the gospel. But it's also secured by God only. When God Almighty breathes life into an individual, God will send his gospel to that individual by another sinner, and they will hear that gospel and they will believe that gospel. Think of what the scripture. Men like Abram, the one we now know as Abraham, the one who's even mentioned in our text. Abraham was in the Ur of the Chaldees, and yet God Almighty picked out and chose that man and reached down into the degradation of all that idolatry in the Ur of the Chaldees and called that man out of darkness into light. Think of that harlot called Rahab, whose name was Rahab. There she sat upon that wall, yet God Almighty in free, reigning grace delivered that woman. It all depended on God. It all was caused by God. It was all secured by God. Think of that proud, self-righteous, Pharisaical rebel known as Saul of Tarsus that we later know as Paul the Apostle. Here was that man who hated the very gospel of Christ, who hated the very Christ himself, and who hated Christ's people. And yet God Almighty brought that proud rebel down. Why? Because God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Let me read it again. Hear what the Apostle John said some odd 2,000 years ago, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. I ask you this question. Is that your God? Is your God able? Is your God able? That's the question. Oh, to God be the glory. To this God be the glory. Why? Don't think to say within yourself, I got this person or that person or this thing to my father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. I hope that next month you'll tune in and listen to my brother Joe Galusik as he preaches the gospel of Christ.
This broadcast is supported by the believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Sovereign Grace Chapel is located in Crow, West Virginia, just off Country Club Drive on Annabelle Lane, just north of Little Beaver State Park. Our web address is www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Our mailing address is Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, in Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Again, that's Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Come hear Christ preached.